The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. Open my lips that my mouth may proclaim your praise. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I want to start by apologizing to those who are watching online for not announcing the hymn. I figure by the very last day before Mother Anita gets back, I'm going to have this all figured out. So there's hope, but for that. But I wanted to begin by sharing about a hobby of mine that I really enjoy, and that is I love writing books. And so I suppose on some level, this makes me an author of sorts. You know, in fact, I've self-published several books simply because I love writing so much that I would write and publish books even if nobody were to ever read them. And this is close to being the case, because the only person that reads my books is my mother. But, you know, that's what mothers are for. You know, they think everything you do is wonderful, even if it's mediocre at best. But so I've come to the conclusion that I will probably not be the next J.K. Rowling. However, notwithstanding this honest assessment of improbabilities, I have gone to pitch my books, you know, to book agents. And Patrick, my husband and I, we even traveled once to Los Angeles so I could pitch my trilogy to film agents, the result of which was absolutely nothing except for a walk on the beach in Santa Monica, which I felt made the whole trip worthwhile. But also, in order to prepare for this ambitious expedition, I learned how to pitch my books in a couple of simple sentences, because I had to be ready, you know, to give a succinct and persuasive sales pitch should I happen upon an agent in an elevator. And so, in other words, I prepared ahead of time in order to be ready to give my elevator pitch. And in a sense, this is what's going on in the book of Acts today between Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. You know, because Philip is unexpectedly called upon to give an elevator pitch for Jesus. Philip was probably not expecting the angel of the Lord to like pop up in front of him and tell him where to go. Nor did Philip probably have any inkling in advance as to who the Holy Spirit was going to direct him to speak with. But nonetheless, this happens, and Philip is ready to respond and follows as the Spirit leads him. And when Philip is invited into the chariot, he's presented with an unexpected scripture. And yet Philip is ready to give an account of the hope that lies within him based on this particular scripture. It is for this reason that I hope Acts 8:35 is a verse that will stick with you even after today. because in Acts 8:35, we are told that in response to having Scripture unexpectedly sprung upon him, that Philip began to speak, and starting with this Scripture, he proclaimed to the eunuch the good news about Jesus Christ. I mean, wow. I mean, think about this. Because as Philip is running over to the chariot, he has no idea what to expect. But when presented with a question from a specific passage in Scripture, Philip was ready to give a succinct and persuasive sales pitch, if you will, about the hope that lies within him by telling the eunuch the good news about Jesus. And this would be an interesting self-experiment to conduct, would it not? I mean, like when you're sitting at home in the evening and there's, you know, nothing on television and the news is just really depressing and you don't want to watch it, you know, and you've already eaten dinner and all your chores are done. I mean, why not just randomly open the Bible and drop your finger and see if you can, from that unexpected passage, expound in order to tell the good news about Jesus? I mean, why not? You could make a game of it and you could call it point and preach. In fact, as I was preparing for today, I went ahead and I tried it because I thought, you know, I can't counsel you to do something that I wouldn't try first myself. And so I opened the Bible and without looking, I dropped my finger on Deuteronomy 7:8, where it says, "Because the Lord loves you, the Lord has redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." And I thought, yes, I could from this scripture tell someone about the good news of Jesus, because just as God redeemed the Israelites from literal bondage in Egypt by causing death to pass over them through the blood of an unblemished lamb, in the same manner, Jesus, our Paschal Lamb, delivers us from bondage to sin and death. And I was especially ready to expound on this scripture, given this week is Passover for the Jews. And I had been reflecting this week as it being the time period when they celebrate this very deliverance. And so Holy Spirit tossed me a softball on that one. I mean, thankfully, I didn't drop my finger on Genesis 11:12, where it says, "And Arphaxad lived 35 years and begat Salah," or something like that, because that would have been a lot more difficult, you know, to just like take the ball and run with it. But you know, some theologians do believe that Jesus is on every page in the Bible. And whether this be the case or not, we do know that Jesus is woven throughout the Old Testament, because Jesus himself reveals this to us. You know, we're told in Luke 24:44 that when Jesus appears behind closed doors after the resurrection, that he says to the disciples, "Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." And so, according to Jesus, if you read the Pentateuch, the prophets, or the Psalms, these scriptures are fulfilled in Jesus. And Philip was able to deliver his elevator pitch to the eunuch because Philip knew how Jesus was the fulfillment of what Isaiah the prophet had written. And from this, Holy Spirit worked through Philip to bear fruit. The fruit of belief and baptism resulted because Philip was ready to give an account of the hope that lies within him. Jesus says to us today, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit." And I would venture to infer that the words of Jesus were abiding in Philip. You know, in fact, leading up to today, Philip had been carrying out the Great Commission by spreading the gospel throughout Samaria, which demonstrates that Philip was ready to share the good news in the form of what I am coining to be an elevator pitch for Jesus. But so let me ask you this. What is your elevator pitch for Jesus? I mean, what have you said when unexpectedly called upon to share the good news? John the Baptist had an excellent elevator pitch ready because he cries out, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." You know, and people are so intrigued by that single sentence that they follow Jesus to find out more about him and what it means to have the Lamb of God come to take away the sin of the world. In fact, that's the topic the eunuch is reading about today in Scripture. Holy Spirit led the Ethiopian Jewish proselyte to a passage about someone who is led like a lamb to be slaughtered, and yet that person is silent before the shearers. And so the obvious question is, who would choose to not speak out in their own defense, and why? I mean, this would make a great scene in a novel, you know, where an innocent man is tried before judge and jury, and the opening line in the book is the innocent man telling the attorney, "Do not defend me." And so I'm sensing a need right now to pen another, you know, mediocre novel, because that's a great modern-day plot line. And I could entitle the book, "Not Guilty as Charged." But the point being, it should be exciting to relay the plot line of Scripture, because Scripture is fascinating. Because why would the Son of God elect to unjustly die? I mean, inquiring minds want to know. And that was God's doorway for discussion between Philip and the eunuch. And their discussion bore fruit. The eunuch, as a result of Philip being ready to explain the good news, responded with belief and baptism after hearing the shortest confirmation class ever. I mean, like, he heard about Jesus being the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, and then he jumps in water. And so what happened was the Holy Spirit orchestrated and enabled all of this. You know, the Holy Spirit had prepared one person to receive and another person to speak. And Holy Spirit assists us in discerning these opportunities as well, in discerning when and where to go and who to speak with, just as the Spirit did with Philip. Because you can't just run up to anybody and just start blurting things out. I mean, you can, but that may not be the most productive tactic. And I believe that this is what Jesus is explaining to us today about abiding in him, and we will bear much fruit. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. And so we pray to be Spirit-led and good news ready. In the same manner that the Apostle Paul counseled Timothy, his beloved son in the faith, and brother and co-worker in Christ, I believe that Paul would encourage us likewise by saying, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Given, how can we know what to preach if we don't know what to say? And how can we know what to say if we don't spend time in the Word? And how can we know where we are being sent and who we are being sent to if we aren't connected to the Spirit? Like a branch to the vine, says Jesus unto us. If we cling to Jesus and Jesus' words, we will bear much fruit. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Amen.